It's Thursday, April 19th, 2018, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 222, Less Fun Than a Barrel of Monkeys. Runtime for this episode is 46 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that has three jobs between us. I'm Jeremy.
I temp.
Don't quit your day job, Tyler. My name is Zach.
I guess I'm Tyler. That's what happened. That's the intro. Yeah. I was the Zach this episode.
I know. Zach schooled you. I'm always telling Zach, you bad at improv. You no good. Bad Zach, no. And he schooled you. It happened.
Yep.
We have live recording of it.
Well, I guess I peaked. That's it. I guess I'm done.
So if you want to make fun of Tyler, we have a Discord channel for that. You can find it linked on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. Come on, it'll be fun. We can talk about Final Fight. We can talk about Donkey Kong. I guess we could talk about Donkey Kong Jr. or Donkey Kong 3. I mean, we're going to do it this episode, so I can't say we're above it.
But maybe not more than is necessary.
Yeah. So speaking of what's necessary, Tyler, what have you been playing?
So, a while ago, I teased, actually on the Discord, that I had purchased Detective Pikachu, and man, have I been playing some Detective Pikachu.
What is the gameplay like? Is it a visual novel? That's, I think, what I want.
It's really gruff Pikachu.
He is so gruff. It's great.
I've heard him. Is it just a Phoenix Wright game?
It's actually less compelling than a Phoenix Wright game. It is clearly not intended for an adult audience. Despite it being kind of dark, there's kind of murder, I guess.
There's Pokemon murder?
No, there's murder of humans. Maybe by a Pokemon. It's unclear. There's also disappearance of humans in a way that should have caused them to die, but didn't. You wander around and you have to, like, look at absolutely everything, but you actually have to physically walk up to it, unlike Phoenix Wright, which I think kind of actually detracts from it. There's a lot of, you have to have talked to everyone 12 times. Like, I have figured this stuff out way before.
Your character has?
Yeah, way before the character has. Like, you have to have, like, this specific clue. The one I'm thinking of specifically is, like, how do I find my way around the lake? I'm like, what about that hidden path right there? And like, huh, this is a hard puzzle. I guess I have to go talk to this old man who will tell me about these statues that I then have to go examine two other statues so that I can piece together that the broken third statue right next to the obvious path is the path you should take. There's a little bit of that. It's not too bad. Mostly what's fun is going and just, like, talking to everyone, including the, like, useless NPCs that you know are useless because they have sometimes fairly amusing dialogue. The miniature cutscenes with Pikachu actually are amazing. There's a lot of voice acting.
Should I just watch a YouTube video of all the cutscenes?
Yes, absolutely. You should just watch a Let's Play or something and not actually play the game, is my opinion of it. It is not a great game. It is an entertaining game. I do not regret my purchase. I am mildly disappointed because it could have been much more than it is. Occasionally there are, like, quick time events, basically. They come in, match the button variety, and press A at the right time variety. I think those are the only two.
Press A to not die.
Yeah, no, it's press A to not die within a circle, so it's kind of like a timing puzzle. Actually, no, there have been a couple other timing puzzles, too. There's been, like, the slider timing puzzle. I don't even know if puzzle is the right word for that timing event. The plot is actually pretty decent, though, which is surprising.
So are the mysteries Pokemon-related, and is that satisfying?
Actually, the most recent one I did involved a Magnemite, and it was actually a very satisfying puzzle, because I was the first one where I was, like, piecing together clues, and I actually went, oh, aha, that was actually a puzzle. I noticed that, there was foreshadowing, and then it came together in the end.
Is there a missing kid, and you find out that he turned into a Kadabra?
Maybe.
Because no sale, otherwise.
Actually, no, I'm not even sure if this is a spoiler, because I haven't beaten the game yet, but my hypothesis is, and I've had this hypothesis from literally the first chapter, so we'll see if this bears true. You play a kid looking for his lost father, who is like a professional detective,
I guess.
So
he's clearly Pikachu?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his father and Pikachu melded consciousnesses somehow.
Oh, like Bill did that one time.
Yeah, exactly. Like Bill did that one time.
And that's why he sounds like an adult man in his mid-40s?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that
he became a Danny DeVito.
Yeah, a Danny DeVito. My favorite Pokemon. He evolves into a Gilbert Godfrey Zor. He's a fire crass type.
What else have you been playing, Tyler?
I have, since our last recording, I finished all of A Hat in Time. I almost 100%ed it. I didn't really feel like going through and getting the last couple Rift tokens because they were hard to find.
I just thought of a game you should play, but I can't think of what it's called. So stay tuned for 10 minutes from now when I just shout it out apropos of nothing.
What's it like?
It's a 2D platformer, but it's got a whole lot of cheat tools, basically, in it to adjust difficulty. But instead of just like infinite jumps, you have one that's like infinite dashes, or play the game at 90% speed or 80% speed, or just a whole lot of different options to make it easier if that's what you want. But if you don't use them, it's just a very hard 2D platformer.
That's
and it will come to me, I'm sure, but I can't think of it now. Yeah, it's on the Switch. Always a plus for any video game.
I haven't heard of this yet. So, A Hat in Time is occasionally kind of buggy. Only a little bit. Or maybe not buggy. It's not quite as polished as, like, even Mario 64 was in terms of movement.
Well, it's also not a...
it's not a AAA title.
AAA title. It was programmed with, like, three people.
There's actually quite a few people on the list at the in the credits, but it's a small team. It's a fairly small dev team. And what I will say is that what it lacks in polish in terms of the mechanics, because the mechanics are pretty good, or I guess in terms of like playtesting and glitch finding, it way more than makes up for in the obvious amount of love they put into this game and just how quirky it is. So it's a great game. I love it. I'm probably not going to play it for a long time because I feel like I've mined that particular mine. My biggest complaint with it is that there wasn't more of it. So
that's a pretty good complaint to have about anything.
Yeah, no, it's a good problem to have, is I liked the game well enough that I wanted there to be more of that game.
What else, Tyler?
What else, indeed? I have not played any Slay the Spire. I've been kind of getting back into FTL, because I played FTL after playing a bunch of Slay the Spire. I'm like, oh yeah, this game. I like this game, so I've been playing a lot of it. Mostly Detective Pikachu, actually. I've dumped a lot of time, well, okay, I've dumped most of my time into it. It hasn't been a lot of time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm, like, looking through, in my mind, my Steam history and seeing what's on the top of the list there. Oh, that's what I played! So, Zach kept giving me shit about having given me Bayonetta 2 and saying I will never play it because he gave it to me, which is accurate. I will probably never play it.
But you're playing Bayonetta 1?
But I'm trying, so I played quite a bit of Bayonetta 1, and what I have found is that I am bad at that game. I am not good at Bayonetta, and I don't know why.
Were you good at Devil May Cry?
Yeah, actually. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. I beat it on Dante Must Die. I don't know that I was good at it. So, I die a lot in Bayonetta. Partially, I think, because I mostly play it when I'm drunk. So, that doesn't really
help. That would not help.
Yeah, that does not help, probably. My reflexes are noticeably impaired, and dodging is a core mechanic in that game. I forgot how slow Devil May Cry was, and I guess by extension, how slow Bayonetta is. There's a lot of just, like, wandering between combat, and there's not actually a whole lot of stuff between combats. Although I had my first, like, really interesting boss fight. It's the giant two-headed dragon face thing.
Mm.
And that was actually a lot of fun. It was an interesting mechanic. It, like, had a callback to, like, one of the puzzle things that you found earlier. So, I don't know. It's an interesting game. It's definitely Bayonetta. I'm sure basically everyone's already played it or has seen it. That's it. That's all I've been playing. You're both just, like, looking at me, so...
What about you, Zach? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League of Legends, looking forward to the games that are currently coming out.
I want to play Super Robot Wars X real bad. I actually didn't like V, but I really want to play X.
I really want to play X, because a couple of my favorite characters and stuff are in there, like Code Geass, and they're bringing back the Cross-Anch characters. Buddy Complex makes me rage, but that's entirely unrelated.
But Gundam Wing. And
but
Jiren
Gundam
Logan.
Wing. Gundam Wing.
Simone and Hiro get to team up.
Buddy Complex? Oh, I don't even... What is?
Let me tell you the plot for Super Robot Wars X as far as I know it. You're in a magic robot, and you team up with all the other magic robots, and also Code Geass and Gundam Wing. But mostly magic robots.
Okay.
But there's this series I've never heard before in it called Aura Battler, which is a series the guy who did Gundam did about a guy in Japan who gets transported to medieval times, but there are fairies and dragons and giant robots. But he's in medieval Europe with his giant robot defending castles with his pixie sidekick in his mech.
Ah, well,
sounds amazing.
I've never heard of this. Actually, it sounds very anime tropey. It's like early
90s.
Yeah. They could go either way. I can see that being pretty blasé.
The hero
actually
looks very Yusuke Urameshi. So
okay,
it's that style.
Well,
just his design. I have no idea, personality-wise.
Well, no, I'm already more sold on it because I want Yusuke Urameshi and a mech.
But anyway, Zach, what have you been playing? I tried to ask earlier, since it's not Super Robot Wars X yet.
No.
Time will come soon.
That'll come soon. The release of BattleTech will come soon. I am so stoked for that game to come out because I played the beta and I really really like the beta and I'm getting the campaign and.
You're a BattleTech mark.
I'm a BattleTech nerd.
You already bought the game 3 times.
Yes, I did. I supported the Kickstarter. Then I bought these two guys' copies. So Tyler will never play it.
I actually like BattleTech, though, so I'll probably
play
it.
I'm in a real mech mood. The problem is it comes out 2 days before Super Robot Wars X.
Yes, but shipping.
Yeah, but shipping. There's not going to be any of it in mech or in BattleTech. But there might be some in Super Robot Wars.
I meant Super Robot Wars will probably show up a week or two later.
I turned it into a joke.
I know you did.
I want to ship, Yoko and Lelouch? That seems like a terrible couple.
I ship it.
And Lelouch.
That seems like it might work. I mean, she has a boyfriend.
Hero and Lelouch.
I mean, I know a lot of people who would ship that, but it's not me.
And yet somehow Sally will still not get a boyfriend.
No, she'll be so sad. She'll be like, all I wanted was to be a cool squad leader and get a boyfriend and maybe be a magical girl. But then this protagonist lady comes out of nowhere and steals all the boys and the cool robot I've been training my whole life to pilot and my mentors all over her.
But Kevin started playing the Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon phone game?
I've Memoria heard Freeze. Of this?
Yes.
Crunchyroll's like, Jammy, you need another phone game, right? I'm like, Crunchyroll, stop being a creepy wizard.
It recently released, which is why you may not have heard of it, Tyler.
I actually think I have heard of this, but
so
I don't know what any of the mechanics are.
It functions similar to previous phone games that have been mentioned. You have to pull random characters and see what you've got and build a team around that.
And then Goku awkwardly tries to pick up chicks in a dungeon. Okay.
But there are some, like, different mechanics. Like, you have characters that are actually fighting characters, like the main character of the series, Belle, or any of the other characters that happen to actually go out and do combat. But then every character also has an assist slot, so you have other characters that are giving them buffs and boosts that you assign to them. And it plays more traditional, like, JRPG style, where you get into a fight and then each character has a selection of abilities that you can pick from and utilize and do all that kind of stuff.
That sounds more amusing. Or more engaging, possibly?
You have to put equipment on people as well. I haven't gotten a buff to my equipment yet. Like, it's still all, like, the baseline stuff. I don't know if they add more or not. I've pulled, like, 3 or 4 times on it. And right now, I don't know, well, when this podcast release, I don't know if it'll still be around. But right now, like, every day for the first 7 days or something like that, they're giving out a guaranteed 3-star summon ticket. And then the last one is, like, a 4-star guarantee ticket, so you'll have a guarantee to get at least one of the top ranked characters with the base one. Like, I'm having fun with the game, which means I'm using my phone a lot more often than I would have thought to play games, because I'm still playing Dokkan Battle and Fate Go, so some of that is like that one Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon game. You can also like start up a level and then hit auto and it'll basically play the level for you.
Okay. Just making like AI best choices.
The Naruto one I tried to play also had that.
Pretty much. So it'll like pick the best abilities for what you're doing, or like the character's most powerful abilities. So, I mean, some of it, obviously, when you actually need to dictate what's going on, you can turn that off. You can turn it off at pretty much any time, or in between any turn. So you can take over if you don't want specific characters to use the like super move that they get access to if you charge up a meter.
Or if you think the strategy that it's choosing is, like, inappropriate, or...
Well, if you think you need to, use a buff skill or something like that instead. I'm enjoying it. The rate at you at rate which you get the pay currency, which is Iris in that game, is a little different. Because you generally get, like, 3 to 4 per level, and it takes 400 to do a multi-summon. But at the same rate, I don't feel like it has taken me longer to earn that amount than it did in Dokkan Battle to get to 50. So it's not like it's got this really high number, but you've got all these little ways of getting it, like the different missions, talking to characters outside of your level to raise their basically like conversation level or whatever. They get specific buffs if you get those raised up, and
so it's higher, but it also scales up a bit faster if you compensate for the fact that it's higher.
It feels like it does. I don't know if it does or I've just been playing, spending too much time playing it, but
probably both.
Probably a little bit of both, yeah. But I'm finding the game fun. it's clear that there's a lot of care went into the game, or at least production value. I don't know if care, because the animations on all the little sprites is really well done. The enemies really well done, and they have shots from the actual show. Like, and at least the first part of the like what's available right now, the main quest line actually just follows the show.
Okay, so if I wanted to experience the show, but through a mobile grind game.
How appropriate for a show about picking up girls in a dungeon.
If you're looking for a phone game because you don't like Dokkan Battle or Fate Go, like I initially picked it up because Kevin said he was enjoying it. And it's a free game to download and give a shot, so it's not like I'm out anything if I don't like it except a little bit of time. Mostly just waiting for it to download because, you know, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot of time to actually start one of these up and play it for a little bit and decide whether or not you like it. That's kind of a fun one. Haven't really been doing a lot. I started up another Game of the Bigs, too, but...
Well, that's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, but I kind of set it aside because I was like, I don't feel like doing anything, but then I loaded that up and went, huh, I wonder if I still have my baseball game. I'm like, yes, I do have my normal baseball game. Thinking about it, if I really wanted to play this, I'd probably just get the latest 2K whatever the show, so I have at least updated rosters. Instead of
2K whatever the show.
Well, because they're based on year. I think The current one is probably 2K18. So I actually, you know, you play that and get at least the updated roster so that you're not playing like, oh yeah, I've got all these players. Basically none of them either A, play or B, play for the teams that they're currently on, but I have them all. Yay.
I mean, I don't know that real world accuracy is something I would care about in those games.
But... I usually do the fantasy draft anyway, but it's one of those things that I like having the updated rosters for stuff like that, just because that's why I usually would update them every 2 years or so when I was playing them. You get the updated roster, and you also get new players added into it, because you start seeing the same things over and over again if you're playing it extensively. Ah, jeez, have I been doing anything else other than just playing League of Legends and way too many phone games?
So while you think of it, this is an amusing tangent, because mentioning Battletech. Yeah, I don't know. I Battletech was in my head. I was just having a hard time saying the word for some reason. So, related to that, because it's a Kickstarter, Google the other day was like, hey, would you like to know about a Kickstarter for Fireball Island? And I'm like, yes, I would very much like to know about a Kickstarter for this. So I don't know if I've ever told you guys about this game.
No.
We found it at a garage sale when I was a kid, and it was like my sister and I's favorite board game. It's like a 3D printed island, but it's like a board slash card game, so you can like play cards to screw over your
Tyler,
opponent.
Just so you know, I'm just imagining the card game from Adventure Time, no matter what you say.
Okay. So the goal is to get up to a giant fireball spewing lava head and steal some treasure out of it. But it's kind of a push-your-luck type of board game.
I think I might have played this at a friend's house.
There weren't very many of them, but it was one of the more interesting games. I think it was published in the late 80s. But because they're really expensive to produce, they didn't make very many of them because it was a custom board. And there's a company that recently came into existence, and their sole thing is like digging through the archives of the 60s to the early 90s and finding obscure but interesting board games to basically recreate, and this is one of my favorite games from forever ago, and they added a bunch of expansions and stuff to it. I'm like, yes, I will throw money at that. So, eventually, I'm going to have a copy of that. I was just really excited for it.
Any other video games, Zach?
Other than just anticipating the games coming out this month, unfortunately, I don't think so.
Yeah, when does Dark Souls Remastered drop?
May.
Oh, man, that's like a whole
over
a month.
It's one Super Robot Wars X. After that comes out. So I've been playing a couple games. I am trying to beat Wind Waker before Super Robot Wars X comes.
Because then you're never going to finish Wind Waker otherwise.
It seems likely. I got through another dungeon, so that's cool.
Where are you now? It's been a while since I've heard.
I just went back to the tower. I'm basically at the point where Ganondorf is like, you fool, you did what I wanted you to do. And then some Tolkien eagles show up and rescue you. Like you think it's going to be an Ocarina of Time deal where he captures Zelda and you have to save her, but then some Tolkien eagles show up and rescue you, and a dragon cuts off Ganondorf when he tries to chase you. So I think Wind Waker might have the best story of a Zelda game. Look, it doesn't have your schoolgirl crush on Zelda at Flying Eagle School with Team Rocket trying to steal your Pikachu. I mean, Red Eagle, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is actually, especially once you get towards the end of the game, there's like a lot of exposition dump that happens that's actually kind of interesting. It's not great.
I just found out that Gasp, Tetra is actually Zelda.
Who'd have thunk?
Who would have known that?
And then basically lock her away in a dungeon for the rest of the game. You become Ganondorf. You just lock her up.
That's what I heard, is that as soon as Zelda realizes she's Zelda, she stops being an interesting pirate character and all of her character falls off.
No, it seems that way.
She wants to be an interesting pirate character, but everyone's like, no. If you get captured...
We only get one Tolkien Eagle save, and we already used it. So you have to stay in this underwater basement. You can't even go to the upstairs of underwater. You have to stay in the basement.
Under a statue of me.
Are we sure Link isn't the bad guy in this?
To be fair, her dad makes it. Or I guess her great-great-great-grandfather is the one who actually puts the rock there. You just go along with it.
Who, spoilers for like a, what, 15-year-old? Yeah, is your boat, and also the King of Hyrule. He's magic.
Well, it makes a lot of sense in context.
He's a magic force ghost, basically, who is possessing a boat.
What I was going to say is I really wish they'd kind of kept the trope of Zelda taking a secret identity every game.
Yeah, because she's chic in...
Yeah, I understand it's only a card you can really play once before everyone's looking for it. And I love Twilight Sparkle Zelda from Breath of the Wild, but she just cares about science.
Twilight Sparkle Zelda.
I guess she doesn't
care about friendship, so maybe she didn't have a god empress of pharaonic might to send her to make friends. That's why Ganondorf took over.
She never unlocked the friendship bracelets for the champions, so they never got the qualities of friendship. And also, she's not an alicorn. She could be.
To be fair, neither was Twilight initially.
Actually, how much better would Breath of the Wild have been if at the end of the game, Zelda just turns into an alicorn?
Look, it would have been very good.
And has a Dragon Ball Z-style fight with Ganondorf.
Look, the only problem with that is it has to end with Link riding her into the sunset, and that has weird implications.
No, that's exactly how I wanted it to end.
So yeah, I've been playing a bit of that. I did one dungeon. I went back to my home to see if my sister was hanging out there, but she's not, and I'm very confused. Tetra's pirate bros promised me they were taking her home.
They're pirates.
Yeah.
They're bad at that.
Okay, yes, they are incompetent pirates. That's true. I fooled them like 4 times, and the only reason they didn't all get fired is because Tetra thought it was kind of funny. The other thing I've been playing, that I've been playing for a long time and forgot to ever mention, was that I said, hey, we should all play Pokemon Platinum. And Zach said, yeah, I'll do that. And did. And I'm like, oh, I should get on that. And then we never talked about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot that we were even playing that.
Yeah, I stopped playing that.
No one ever reminded me about it. So
failed to remind you. So I've been playing a bit of that. I got a gym badge. I got a sweet little penguin named Lupin, because he's French.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. That's right. We all agreed on starters, right?
Oh, we did, but then I went back on it. So.
Well, which one did I get stuck with then?
Grass. Who I actually like, but...
I don't even remember the grass type starts.
He becomes a Yggdrasil. He starts out as a turtle.
Oh, okay, that one, yeah. No, I like that start. Turtwig.
I think I have Sun Wukong.
Yeah.
Because I named him Wukong.
Look, the starters in Gen 4 are real good.
They are. Okay, well, I will start playing Platinum.
Yeah. It was either Wukong or...
Goku.
Or Fire Poop.
I've got a sweet lightning guy whose name I can't remember. Luxray. It's the middle form. That I named Spar King. Exclamation point.
Sparky! Yep. I really wish you could have custom recorded voice clips for when you send out Pokemon.
Yes, look, in my head every time I do, it's him. I got Doofus the Bidoof.
Bidoofus.
This is my last one. I knew it was... Sparking is clearly the best one. Oh, no, it's Starivia named Harvey.
Harvey?
Because he's a bird.
Oh, Birdman. Oh. Did I tell you that Jen's... what do you call it? Parrotlet is named Harvey.
It's a good name.
It's a good name for birds. That's true. You only have 4 Pokemon?
Yeah, I could have more, but I don't need... Look, I'm not going to use a Geodude this run.
I think I have an Onix in my playthrough.
I actually really like Onix in Red and Blue. It's been a long time since I've used one, but...
I have him because I didn't have... I had open space.
I really wanted to catch a Badoo and call it Badood and use that, but I decided better of it. I tried to catch an Abra, but it ran away.
As it does. Are there Absol sitting around in 4th Gen?
Probably.
I feel like every game where there's an Absol is an option. I always want an Absol on my team. It's never a good choice, but it's
Mega
a choice
Absol's
I make.
Absol's okay.
That's why I almost always have a Gardevoir.
Gardevoir is a good choice, though.
Yeah, Gardevoir is actually
especially
good.
Once it becomes Fairy-type.
I just like Gardevoir.
Fairy-type hasn't been unlocked yet.
I know. We don't know those secrets. We're just like, Clefairy's pretty normal, right? Most things use weird moon magic and randomly select their attacks. Totally normal.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even had the two superheroes from... French Pokemon Land show up and be like, yo, hi.
Oh, I forgot about them. I feel like they're just a staple in every Pokemon game thereafter, and they should be, because they're basically just the Power Rangers.
Every Pokemon game thereafter, there's one Pokemon game after that.
Yeah. They've been in all one after X and Y.
One and a half, if you count Ultras.
I don't. No one should.
I actually was talking to my brother a while back when he was like, I was going to buy Moon or Sun or Moon, and then I was going to buy Ultra Sun or Ultraman. I told him, don't do that. Just buy the Ultra version. Like, you don't need to play both. They're close enough to each other that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, finished Sun and done Moon.
Exactly.
I think that's all I've been playing, though. And I haven't played much of either.
I feel like that's more than you have generally been playing recently. So
I played a lot of Slay the Spire. And I played a lot of Dragon Ball FighterZ. But then Broly and Bardock came out, and I'm like, oh, these dudes seem rad. Broly can 100-0 you. I'm not playing anymore.
Can he? Is there actually a combo?
You have to have the enemy in the corner, you have to have 7 bars, and you have to start with your auto combo and whiff the first move. But you can.
That's oddly specific.
Yes. But it is possible. It's very hard to get your opponent in the corner without damaging them.
I'm just saying, the first time that happens in tournament play, it's going to be incredibly hype.
I don't know if anyone's going to play Broly at that tier. They might.
I wonder who the next set is going to be.
Launch? Yeah. I'm really hoping it's Launch
and Bulma. I'm all for that, but I kind of don't think so.
I would like it.
I just want Bulma. I really do.
Cauliflower.
Yeah, actually, that seems like the obvious choice, and I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't happened.
I'm not surprised. People seem very split on Super, and even more split about the this Universe 6 Saiyans, Cauliflower and Kale specifically.
So I feel like what I've heard about the split is people are like, man, this is a terrible show. Dragon Ball Z was way better.
It wasn't. It was. I agree with the latter part. Let me put it that way. I think Dragon Ball Z was much better than Dragon Ball Super.
Really, though? Have you gone back and rewatched it?
It has character arcs. They're not good.
But they exist.
Yes. It's really good at building tension. It's really good at those moments where like, oh, how could they possibly win now? I'm so jealous of like 11-year-old me for legitimately thinking there was no way the Z Fighters could possibly beat Cell after he survived his self-destruction.
How did he survive his self-destruction? Was there one cell left? I mean, that's why not just
because he was a Saiyan, it made him stronger. Strong enough to be perfect without 18. And he also learned the instant transmission because he saw Goku once. And if you're a bad Kai, that's all it takes.
Yeah, everyone just copies Goku's instant transmission. But none of the Z Fighters can do it.
And it took him, like, what, 3 years on that planet?
Something stupid, yeah.
Actually, Vegeta can do it. He just chooses not to.
He's very Tsundere about it.
Yes, exactly.
Vegeta's probably my favorite character at this point. It's either Vegeta or Krillin.
That's because he actually has a personality. Like, what's Goku's personality?
Yeah, he has a personality, and like Gohan, he wasn't forgotten about.
Speaking of things that should be forgotten about, how about those games that we played this week?
You mean Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong 3?
I don't even remember.
The follow-ups to the Smash Arcade hit Donkey Kong?
Yes. Yes, those games. They are, wow.
They're fine, honestly, especially for what they are. They're not great.
They're functional.
Yes, fine.
Donkey Kong 2 was, like, the kind of puzzle game, right? It had, like, an overworld map.
Donkey Kong Jr. is Donkey Kong 2. You're thinking of Donkey Kong 9, the Game Boy one?
Yeah, I think so. That had an overworld map for some reason.
That's, like, basically a puzzle game?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Donkey Kong 1994, I believe? Might be 1993.
Okay, so that's actually quite a bit later.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
It uses a lot of mechanics from Donkey Kong Jr., actually.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
So Donkey Kong Jr., we'll start there. The follow-up to Donkey Kong, because this game was so successful, you kind of had to do a sequel. It flips things on its head. Mario is now a cruel animal tamer who has cruelly caged a giant monkey. And you play as said monkey's son, wearing a tie, trying to save your dad.
Is it a tie or a onesie?
It's a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's not a tie yet. In my head, for some reason, Donkey Kong Jr. has the same tie as Donkey Kong in the country games. I think because of the weird canon that Donkey Kong Jr. is Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and he befriends Mario despite the fact that Mario...
See, that's rare canon. Like, it's not Nintendo's canon, though, so it gets very muddled and messy.
Anyway, you try to save your dad by climbing ropes, mostly.
And avoiding things trying to eat you.
Yeah, in contrast to Donkey Kong, where the game is very vertical, you have a lot of ability to move horizontal easily, but you have to get up to Donkey Kong. This game becomes a lot more horizontal. You can very easily go up and down on these vines and ropes that you can climb, but it's difficult to get across the screen and then get up to where Mario is.
So unlike Donkey Kong, I think one interesting thing to note is that there aren't any power-ups in this game. There are point boosts.
And also there are kind of weapons you use, but basically they're just hanging on the ropes, and when you hit them, you will drop them, and if they hit an enemy, they defeat it and you get some points.
But at the point that it's falling to defeat an enemy, like, it's no longer a threat to you, so the only point is points. The only purpose is points, there we go, to be less redundant.
And points are not really something you'd be... Well, I mean...
In an arcade, definitely.
Yeah, if you're playing this in an arcade, you'd want the points. But at this point, I didn't care. I just wanted to clear the stage.
Well, and also, there ain't no King of Donkey Kong Jr. documentary about people trying to get the high score in that. I think there's a reason. So the basic mechanic is you climb up ropes. Ropes are kind of one Donkey Kong apart, so you can climb from one to the other. You can be basically astride two ropes, and then you climb up much faster, but you don't slide down as quickly, and you're basically in two lanes, so you're twice as vulnerable to enemies, because a little thing that goes up and down the ropes on either one can hit you, so you've got to be more careful. But you can easily compact yourself, so that's kind of interesting. The problem, I think, with this game is really with the level design. The first level is pretty simple and easy. It's just some ropes. You just basically have to climb up and down around them to navigate past some platforms that are in your way.
It's almost a tutorial for the rest of the game, actually, because they start to play with the concept a bit more.
The second level is the hardest, and it really sucks. It starts with this jump you have to make, and then there's a spring. There's a floating platform above you, and if you time it right, you can just spring right to that. But if you try that and miss, you will jump so high that you take fall damage and die when you land. So that's not great. You also have the option of going across the pit on the spring, and then you kind of have to awkwardly jump to the platform, but it's a really hardly timed jump.
But it's a lot safer.
But if you fail the jump, you fall into the pit, so...
That is true.
It's not that much safer, and it's a choice, but it's a real uninteresting one. It just kind of requires some pixel-perfect platforming, and it's not that pixel-perfect because it's an old game, but it's still the dissatisfying, you gotta hit it at the right time.
It's near enough to be frustrating.
It's also the hardest challenge in the game, which sucks to put it there. It does kind of make sense from an arcade point of view to get the quarters of all the new people trying the game real quickly there.
Yeah, because you get hooked after the first level.
And then take away from them, but it really doesn't hold up well, and I don't think it was ever good. It just made sense.
This also has kind of moving vines in the form of, like, goo?
Yeah, they, like, go up and down. I don't know what they're supposed to be.
I just assumed there were, like, tree sap or something. I don't know.
The third level kind of does away with the vines for a minute. It's just kind of crisscrossing platformer where you have basically three tiers of platforms and you have to jump on ones on the side and then middle and then side.
It's actually very reminiscent of the original Donkey Kong having to, like, traverse up a thing, except instead of having ramps, you have vines on the side that you had to get to.
But the center columns all have these little, like, spark enemies that just circle around them. So you just have to time it so you don't get hit by them. They vary up the speed as you go up it higher and higher, which is kind of nice, but it's still really simple, especially since you can just jump over the enemies as long as you don't get sandwiched between two.
The last level is by far the most interesting.
Yeah, it's got a sequence of, I think, six vines, and they each have a little key at the bottom, and you have to get under the keys and push them up by climbing to the top to open locks, basically, but the keys all have enemies on them. If you're climbing two vines at once, you can push up two keys at once, but again, that makes you double vulnerable.
It's a much better use of the push your luck sort of mechanic there.
And it sounds like it.
And it requires timing if you're not careful to, like, go down to one vine and slide down to avoid the enemies. And then, like the original Donkey Kong, they loop after that. It's kind of interesting, but it's not nearly as good as the original Donkey Kong or as important, so it's hard to recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, especially at this point, when if you want to play almost any game that has semi-similar things, there are better games available pretty much anywhere you want to look.
I mean, I would argue, like, Donkey Kong Country, if you, like, use some rope stuff, Donkey Kong Country has some pretty good rope levels.
Donkey Kong Country takes a lot of the ideas here and makes them much better levels. Specifically Donkey Kong Country 2, although both of them are more worth your time. Alright, so the other game is Donkey Kong 3, which is kind of historically important because it's the first game Nintendo programmed in-house.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They farmed out the first two Donkey Kongs. They designed them, but did not program them. That led to some weird lawsuits with Donkey Kong that got settled out of court, and no one really knows what's up with them. So they decided to start designing in-house, and it kind of shows. The programming on the game isn't awful, but it's a lot simpler than the other two, and not nearly as good.
And so the design of the game is...
uninteresting?
Well, I was going to say way pared down. Although, the character design, personality of the game is actually much better. Which is weird.
Sort of. Donkey Kong is back to being the antagonist, but instead of Mario, you are playing Stanley, that great Nintendo character we all love. Stanley for Smash 5. Actually, he would not be a terrible character. Like, I'm thinking of his move list now. There are worse choices they could make.
Except for the fact that no one would know who he is.
I would.
Piccolo for Smash 5.
Although, I guess, now that I think about it, Game & Watch Rob.
Yeah, Rob was a weird choice. Game & Watch, I could see.
They're both very important to Nintendo history. I don't think Stanley is, even though Donkey Kong 3 has an interesting historical tidbit. It plays very differently. It's a shooter very much in the Space Invaders vein. The game starts with this cool cutscene where Donkey Kong will climb up and punch some beehives, and then bees come out angry at you and not Donkey Kong for some reason.
That's because you smell better.
It's because of animal unions.
You have a pesticide sprayer that shoots up that can take out the insects. You have little plants under you, and the insects try to basically grab them and fly up with them. Like the Space Invaders enemies, the closer they get to you, the more dangerous they become. You have three tiers of platforms, and you kind of have to jump up to the top one where you're most vulnerable to win, because the objective is to shoot Donkey Kong in the butt so much that he will climb these two poles he's on, stick his head in the beehive, and get beed. Not the bees.
Get beed, bro.
It's telegraphed okay, because Donkey Kong slowly climbs, but you have to hit him quite a few times before he'll start, so...
When I was playing this, I wasn't entirely sure if I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, because I thought I was just going for points and it didn't actually end until a little ways into it, I realized that Donkey Kong was reacting anytime I was missing one of the bugs and accidentally hitting him.
Yeah, I only knew what to do because I have seen gameplay of this game before.
Same. It's got three levels if you manage to succeed in doing that. They're all pretty similar, and then they loop and get harder. It's got some different enemies. There's like a queen bee that turns into three stingers that come at you if you kill them. The real problem with this game is the best strategy is always to just immediately jump to the top and hit Donkey Kong as fast as you can before the enemies become too much to deal with.
And then after that, it's basically just a bullet hill. That's how I treated it.
And so. It's not a very good one. This game does have a power up in the form of milk, which gives your insecticide sprayer faster firing and longer range. So you can sit at the bottom and shoot Donkey Kong's butt.
You know, as milk does. It powers up your pumping arm.
It's totally what it's for.
But this is one of the worst shooters we've played.
Yeah,
I actually
didn't even think of it as a shooter, because the fact that you had to jump between platforms still made it feel like a platformer to me, but it is more of a shooter. And yeah, it's not great, and it's not exceptionally well telegraphed. I mean, it's basically straight to the boss fight, though, so...
Yeah, but it's just, as a first game a company's going to make, this is fine, especially for the time, but I said there's little reason to go back to Donkey Kong Jr. There's really no reason to play Donkey Kong 3.
No, it's an entirely skippable game.
If you want a game like that, Galaga exists,
Space Invaders
exists.
I mean, really, Galaga. Galaga's pretty good.
All right.
It's no Gradius.
Do we have any other final thoughts on these games? They are kind of interesting historical footnotes, but...
They're historical footnotes.
Yeah. Unless you're a total completionist, there's not much reason to play them.
A Donkey Kong fanatic?
If you were a Donkey Kong fanatic, you probably just shifted over to Country and played through those games.
Well, it depends on how old a Donkey Kong fanatic you are. All right. So speaking of old people, we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a game with old people because of time travel. At the bottom is City Connection, a game with old cops that chase you.
Doesn't Station Wagon.
And in the middle is Blades of Steel, a game with old people voice clips. I think we will start by placing Donkey Kong Jr. at the list, and I think it makes the most sense to start with Donkey Kong, and it's way worse than Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah.
So let's go down. Another arcade-ish Nintendo game is Balloon Fight. I think it's worse than Balloon Fight.
Now, Balloon Fight is way more interesting.
Yeah.
How do we think it compares to Dig Dug, another arcade game?
I like Dig Dug a lot more.
I was going to say, I prefer Dig Dug. There's a lot more choice you have to make.
And you've got a lot more options.
I don't know that you have a lot more. You can move, you can dig, or you can pump. As opposed to, I guess, move. Yeah, I guess, touche. You have three times the options.
I'm looking for another arcade game. I might not find it. How do we think it compares to Splatterhouse?
Oh. I prefer Splatterhouse, but...
I think Splatterhouse is better.
Okay, wow. Really? I think I disagree, but that's two against one.
Although Splatterhouse was extremely frustrating.
So was Donkey Kong Jr.
Donkey Kong Jr. has that really bad part. But I guess you could argue Splatterhouse is mostly bad parts?
Yeah.
I think we can go with your gut, though. Unless you want to change your mind.
No, I think I'm sticking to my guts.
How do we think it compares to one-time bottom of the list, Golden Axe?
Wow, Golden Axe has risen quite a bit, hasn't it?
So, I will say I think we're a little unduly harsh on Golden Axe.
I don't think we were.
I agree and disagree. I mean, you were definitely the one who thought it should go higher than us.
I think Golden Axe is actually better than this.
I think I would actually give it to Donkey Kong Jr. It's a bit faster. It works better overall. I'm really sad that Golden Axe is as low as it is. Because I'm kind of torn.
I think I agree with Tyler. I don't think it's much better, but I think it's just a little bit better. Golden Axe, like the gameplay loop isn't good. It's got some innovative fantasy stuff, but...
Yeah, aesthetically, it's great.
How do we think it compares to King's Knight? That weird shooter made by Square.
I think King's Knight's a bit more interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly
interesting. Not good, but I don't think it's I think it's more interesting, and I don't think Donkey Kong Jr. is good either, and it's not interesting, so...
Yeah, but like I feel like the skill cap in Donkey Kong is slightly higher.
I feel like King's Knight you could get good at, to be fair.
You could. You could. Do you want to ever? Actually, do you want to get good at either of these games?
Yeah, see, that's where your argument kind of breaks down.
I'm kind of tempted to give it to King's Knight just on basis of that was certainly an idea that they had, and I'm glad they tried it. It didn't work, but I'm glad they tried it. I don't know. Do you have a strong opinion?
Do you want to
launch an argument?
No, not really a counter-argument. I think if that's the feeling you guys have, we put it below King's Knight. How do we think it compares to Baseball for the Game Boy? I think it's better than that, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one had some mechanical issues.
Okay. Now it's a game I don't remember, and that makes me sad. But how do we think it compares to Secret Command?
I remember the name. I'm going to have to look it up, though.
Was this Rambo?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it's better than that, personally.
If it was Rambo, I think Rambo's better, personally.
Secret Command brings up movie results on Wikipedia. Why have you betrayed me, Wikipedia?
Yeah, I noticed that Secret Command game is what Google was suggesting to me. Yeah, this is also Rambo First Blood Part 2, the really slow, awkward shooter.
All right, so Tyler, I think it's better than that. Zach thinks it's worse.
I'm going to have to agree with Jeremy on this one. I think Donkey Kong is more engaging.
I think it's going to come down to that, but I don't want to compare it to that. So how do we think it compares to Cruisin' USA? Another arcade game. I really don't like Cruisin' USA, though, so I think it's better than that.
Cruisin' USA.
I find it to be a very boring racing game.
There are much, much better racing games. On the other hand, there are much, much better platform-ish games. I don't even know.
I'd rather play Cruisin' USA.
Tyler, it's up to you again.
Okay, I think Donkey Kong Jr. is mechanically more sound. I would also rather play Cruisin' USA.
Okay, so now we are in my worst-case scenario. Final question. Is Donkey Kong Jr. better or worse than Postal 2?
Better.
Worse.
Better.
I was actually expecting that to be unanimous, so...
Why?
I wasn't. That's why it's my worst-case scenario.
I don't know. I was just expecting it.
Okay, so Donkey Kong Jr. goes at number 215, below Cruisin' USA, but above Postal 2.
It's not a bad game, but man, is it a forgettable
game.
So
we're in agreement Donkey Kong 3 is worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it worse than Secret Command?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I agree. Is it worse than Operation Wolf?
Hard to say, because we didn't get to play that one with a light gun.
Yeah. It gives you the option of not playing. Let's go down one, actually. Let's compare it to Space Harrier on the Genesis. Is it worse than that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
Space Harrier is at least mildly interesting, even if it was kind of mechanically a train wreck.
Is it worse than Mighty Bomb Jack? I think Mighty Bomb Jack actually has a bit more going on with the power-ups and
stuff. I would say
it's
worse, yeah.
I would counter, though, that Donkey Kong 3 is better designed. Like, Mighty Bomb Jack, nothing works together, really. Well,
I agree with you, but I don't think the resulting game ends up being better.
That's fair.
Is it worse than Flying Dragon Secret Scroll?
I mean, I think a lot of games are worse than Flying Dragon Secret Scroll. I think Flying Dragon Secret Scroll is a great game.
I don't think it is.
No, I don't either. So, final question on this one, much more acceptable. Is it better or worse than Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle?
Yes.
I agree. It is better or worse.
Enchanted Castle. Which was that the third one that had like cars that tried to attack you for some reason?
Yes. Third one was Shinobi World. This is the fourth one, but you're thinking of the right one.
Okay.
It's worse.
Yeah. Okay, Alex Kidd has the interesting punch mechanics, but I think this game does work a little better. I'm really not sure. I'm leaning towards better, but it's not a strong leaning.
I would actually have to give it to Alex Kidd. It's at least... I don't know. It's got more going on. Although, on the other hand, how much later in time did that come out?
10 years?
Yeah. I think I stand by my decision, though.
So Donkey Kong 3 will go number 228, above Flying Dragon Secret Scroll, and below Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle. These actually both went a little lower than I was expecting. Not, I think, lower than they deserve. Donkey Kong Jr., I'd probably argue, goes
that
10 or so higher, but...
I was going to say, they can maybe go a little higher, but it is a really forgettable game.
So speaking of forgettable games, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
We are going to play Star Wars Shadow of the Empire.
See, that's a game I can't forget. That's a game with a great cheat mode. That's the first game I played on N64, because my dad got me Wave Race Mario and Shadow of the Empire, and one of those games was a Star Wars game.
That's fair.
I have the book on tape.
I actually played this game recently, and I thought we had already done it for the podcast, otherwise I would have called it forever ago.
So, next time on Last Time, 90s ass Han Solo.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2018. All games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are copyright their respective owners. If you wish to listen to more episodes, visit us at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can see the entire archive. If you wish to get in contact with us, you can email us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. This episode is over. Try listening to another one?